The truth is, if you're partnering with someone who serves a completely different target market, those referrals are likely to be ineffective at best and potentially could even damage your reputation. So if the referrals aren't a good match, you can just really end up wasting time for both parties. And I think the lesson here is do your homework. Take the time to really understand your potential referral partner's client base, their typical pain points, and how your services might or might not be a good fit. I'm Sylvie Garibaldi, founder and CEO of a well-established marketing training and done-for-you services company, tailored specifically for the modern legal and financial professional worldwide. While it's taken some trial and error to figure out which methods get the best results for professionals who are looking to grow their practices, fast forward to today, my team and I have nailed down and perfected a process that has helped so many of our clients consistently achieve outstanding results and create a legacy for their practices. I created the Serve First, Sell Later marketing podcast to give you simple, actionable, non-salesy, and results-driven marketing to grow your legal or financial practice like so many of our clients have. If you're a lawyer, mediator, financial, or divorce professional who is looking to become highly visible and wants to create a practice that makes an impact, then you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode number 20 of the Serve First, Sell Later marketing podcast. Now, I know referral partnerships can be a real game changer for your professional practice, and they really open the door to a whole new pool of potential clients and can really take your practice to the next level. But the truth is, a lot of professionals make some really critical mistakes when trying to cultivate these valuable relationships. And what happens is it can end up costing you in a big way. So, for this episode, we're going to uncover the most common pitfalls that you need to steer clear of, from rushing the relationship building process to being overly opportunistic, and we'll cover the behaviors that can seriously sabotage your efforts to create strong, mutually beneficial referral partnerships. And so I guess the question is, why is this so important? Well, referral partnerships are all about trust and rapport. And so it's really important to get that right. And in today's competitive landscape, you simply can't afford to make those kinds of mistakes. And I'm sure you agree with me on that one. So whether you're just starting to explore referral partnerships or you've been at it for years, you're going to pick up some valuable insights today. And I think by the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what to avoid so you can start building the kind of referral network that takes your practice to the next level. So let's dive in. So when you're trying to grow your practice, it can be tempting to jump right into and start asking for referrals. But that's a surefire way to really sabotage your efforts before they even get off the ground. So let me explain why. So first, there's the danger of rushing the process, right? So I've seen so many professionals make the mistake of trying to expedite the relationship building phase with potential referral partners. So what happens is they skip over the crucial steps of getting to know each other, establishing trust and rapport, and really just understanding how they can provide value to one another. So instead, they just dive in and ask for a referral or try to close the deal before the other person really even knows who they are. And so typically, the other person might feel used. They might feel like that they're just a means to an end. And so they shut down, and any chance of a productive long-term partnership really goes just out the window. So the better approach is to slow down, take the time to really get to know your potential referral partners, and let the relationship develop organically. So ask questions, listen intently, and find out how you can genuinely help them and their clients. And that foundation of trust and mutual understanding is what's going to make the partnership really thrive. And so another big mistake I see is a lack of communication. Even once you've started building those relationships, poor communication can quickly derail the whole process. And I also want to say that referral partners aren't built in just one meeting or one session. I think a lot of people think, I'll just have a meeting with them and then I'll get referrals. Well, that's not exactly correct. It takes time and it takes multiple efforts. So if you're not regularly checking in, or maybe you're not updating each other on progress, and you aren't addressing any concerns or challenges that come up, it's going to be very difficult to maintain that trust and keep that partnership strong. So I worked with one financial advisor who had a great referral arrangement going with a local estate attorney. But over time, what happened was the communication started to break down, and the attorney would send over a referral and the advisor would go radio silent for weeks. And the attorney started to feel ignored and unappreciated, and eventually the whole thing fell apart. And so that was a conversation that I had with my client to talk about how important it is to really build that relationship and to really ensure that that follow-up is in place. So I think the lesson here is to make communication a priority. So set up regular check-ins, be responsive to messages and inquiries, and make sure you're both on the same page about expectations, about goals, and how you're going to work together. That's really an important place to start. It's almost like you have a document in place that talks about what are our expectations for this referral partnership? What are the goals that we want to achieve over, maybe 6 months of working together? So really putting it down on paper so that everyone has the same expectation and you both agree to what the value is in this relationship and how you're going to make it work. So that open line of communication is really the glue that holds a referral partnership together. And I think we also need to talk about the danger of focusing solely on transactions. So I know the end goal here is to get more referrals and grow your practice, but if that's the only thing you really care about, you're going to have a really difficult time building genuine, lasting relationships with your referral partners. So think about it. Would you want to work with someone who only ever reaches out when they need something from you? Probably not. So you want to feel valued, appreciated, and like the other person genuinely cares about helping you succeed, not just using you for their own gain. So the most successful referral partnerships that I've seen are really the ones where both parties are constantly looking for ways to provide value to each other, whether that's through introductions, insights, or just a friendly check-in. So they prioritize the relationship over the immediate transaction. So I hope you see where I'm going with this. And that's what really allows the partnership to thrive over the long term. So one of the complaints I hear is how these type of referral partnerships don't have a long shelf life. And the reason they don't have a long shelf life is because there is no prioritization of the relationship. And so that's going to be absolutely key. Now, for most referral partners, the end goal is, of course, to grow your practice and get more referrals. I think we can all agree to that. But if you approach these partnerships with a self-centered, opportunistic mindset, you're going to have a really tough time making them work. So let me give you a few examples of what I mean. One of the biggest red flags is only reaching out to your referral partner when you need something from them. So think about it. How would you feel if someone you barely knew suddenly popped up in your inbox asking for a referral or some other favor? So chances are you'd feel a little uncomfortable with that, right? And I've heard so many stories from professionals who get approached by referral partners who they haven't heard from in a while, and then suddenly they reach out to see if there are any clients or cases that they could refer. And unsurprisingly, these professionals quickly grew tired of this behavior and started to pull back. So the better approach is to make regular check-ins and the outreach a priority, even when you don't need anything specific. So ask how they're doing, share relevant industry insights, or just get caught up on a personal level, maybe meet up for lunch or coffee. That way, when you do need to ask for a referral, it feels like a natural extension of an ongoing, mutually beneficial relationship, right? It's not a one-sided transaction. So it's really important to focus on being a generous, value-adding partner, even when you don't have an immediate need. So share leads, offer insights, make introductions, invite them to deliver a webinar to your clients. Think about how you can make the relationship work and how you can stay in contact on a regular basis. So another helpful resource for you is episode number 3 of the podcast, where I talk about the various ways that you can actually co-collaborate and do joint marketing activities. So if you want to check it out, I'll link it in the show notes. So that spirit of genuine reciprocity is what will keep your referral partnerships strong and thriving. And so the bottom line is your referral partners can smell opportunism a mile away. And if they get that sense that you're only in it for yourself, they're going to start to pull back and the relationship will unravel very quickly. So please be intentional about cultivating a mindset of mutual benefit and not just personal gain. If you're ready to take your practice to the next level, then you'll want to get a hold of our free comprehensive marketing planning workbook designed specifically for professionals just like you. With this step-by-step guide, you'll unlock the secrets to attracting your ideal clients, generating more leads, and mapping out your entire year of marketing with ease. Don't miss out. Simply go to sgandassociates.ca/marketing-planning-workbook for podcast. Link is also in the show notes. Check it out. All right. Okay. Here's another mistake I see when professionals team up with others who don't share the same ideal target market. It's easy to get excited about a potential referral opportunity and jump in without really considering whether the other person's client base is a good fit for your services. The truth is, if you're partnering with someone who serves a completely different target market, those referrals are likely to be ineffective at best and potentially could even damage your reputation. So if the referrals aren't a good match, you can just really end up wasting time for both parties. And I think the lesson here is do your homework. Take the time to really understand your potential referral partner's client base, their typical pain points, and how your services might or might not be a good fit. And that way, you can really ensure that you're only building partnerships that are truly aligned and poised for success. So another critical factor to consider is the alignment of your values and ethics. Even if a referral partnership seems like a great fit on paper, if you discover that your partner's values or business practices don't align with your own, it can really spell big trouble down the line. And so there are scenarios where professionals align themselves with referral partners who turned out to have maybe questionable ethics. And when that comes to light, it can potentially harm your reputation and credibility. So I think the best way to avoid this is to do your due diligence upfront. Ask probing questions, maybe check references, and really get to know your potential partner before committing to a referral arrangement. And please look for those red flags, like a lack of transparency or maybe a history of client complaints. Google them. And remember, your referral partners are really a direct reflection of your practice. So it's important that you only align yourself with professionals whose integrity and values you can fully stand behind. And at the end of the day, audience alignment and shared values are the foundation of any successful referral partnership. And I think if you overlook these critical factors, you might be setting yourself up for ineffective referrals, maybe harmful reputations, and ultimately, not a really good use of time. So I want to also touch on the art of following up and how this can impact a referral partnership. So imagine that you've just been given a referral. What happens if you drop the ball and forget to follow up? It's more than just a missed opportunity, right? It really can signal disinterest or a lack of appreciation towards the person who extended that referral. So I'll share a story that really puts this into perspective. So a client of mine had given a referral to an attorney acquaintance. Excited, she waited to hear back from the referred client. Days turned into weeks and nothing happened. So what ended up coming to light was the attorney who received the referral never followed up. And so my client felt undervalued and really hesitant to provide more referrals in the future, really questioning the professionalism and reliability of her colleague. And so this situation underscores a simple truth. Neglecting to follow up can not only cost you a client, but it can also harm your relationship and reputation. So always acknowledge every referral received, follow up promptly, and most importantly, let your referral partner know the outcome. And I think this not only shows professionalism, but also gratitude and respect for the trust your partner placed in you. Now, moving on to the second critical piece here, and that is feedback. So providing constructive feedback to your referral partners is not just courteous, it's strategic. And it really helps improve the quality of referrals over time, which is one of your goals, or should be one of your goals, ensuring that they're more aligned with your needs and expectations. So here's another example of a client of mine who's a divorce financial planner who regularly exchanged referrals with a real estate agent. So initially, the referrals he received weren't quite hitting the mark, and they were either out of his preferred demographic or really not in need of his specialized services, which was, you know, families going through separation or divorce. So instead of letting frustration build or end the partnership, my client decided to provide clear, constructive feedback. So our recommendation was give your referral partner a detailed outline of the types of clients he was looking for, when they would most need his services, meaning when in the divorce process would he most need their services, and what other information they could provide that would help the referring partner understand what my client was looking for. So ultimately, this open communication really allowed the real estate agent to adjust her referrals, leading to more successful outcomes for my client. And that was exactly what we were looking for. So this example highlights really the power of feedback. It's not just about correcting the course. It's about enhancing and refining the partnership. So make it a regular practice to discuss what's working and what's not in your referral exchanges. And I think if you're specific, if you provide constructive feedback and you always aim to foster a collaborative atmosphere, it's a win-win for both parties. So the follow-up and feedback loop is essential in nurturing and keeping productive referral partnerships. So by ensuring diligent follow-up and open lines of feedback, you not only maintain, but you're also strengthening the trust and efficacy of your professional relationships. So referral partnerships are a big deal. They can really boost your practice and open up new opportunities. But like I've mentioned, there are some key things that you need to keep in mind to make them work. And basically, it's really just all about building real relationships. You've got to take the time to get to know your potential partners, communicate well, and make sure you're both on the same page, because rushing things or only focusing on what you can get out of it won't cut it. It won't cut it. The relationship won't continue. So by steering clear of the mistakes that we've covered and focusing in on collaboration and mutual benefit, you can create partnerships that not only help your practice grow, but also make your professional journey more rewarding. So thanks for tuning in with me. And if you found this episode valuable, I would be most honored if you subscribe to the podcast, rate and leave a review, or please share this with anyone who you think would most benefit. I'll catch you in the next episode.